3, 2, 1.
Yes. Oh, what was that? What are we doing?
Go on, go on, go on.
It sounds like something you find in your penis.
Oh, I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo.
Well, hi there, ho there, and hello there, ladies. It's Madge Weinstein with another
ordinary... Did you just say Weinstein?
Did I?
Weird.
With another regular, ordinary edition of Eat This Hot Show, recorded, just in case you're interested, recorded on Tuesday, June 14th, 2011. This is not a time warp. And my normal hosts are... Wanda Wisdom. How are you, Wanda Wisdom of WandaWisdom.com?
Well, hello there, Madge.
Hi. And as usual, my other guest, co-host rather, is Reagan Fox of, well, I don't know if it's, I guess we should just say of Big Brother 12, because I don't think, because I think he ended his podcast.
Yeah, you could just say, of CBS, America's number one network. That's fine.
What's that lady's name that's married to Les Moonves?
Julie Chen. I call her the human centipede.
That's naughty. How are you, Reagan? It's been a while since you've been on our show.
It has been a while.
What's new? So exciting to have you black.
Thank you. Oh, I guess I should.
Oh, you're black?
Yeah.
No, I don't tell Wanda that because then she's not going to want to do any type of show with
me. I think we need a black on the program.
See, I thought y'all were bringing me back to already, you know, to like give it some diversity because I'll be the drunk. So you don't have a black, you have a drunk.
Well, an active drunk perhaps, but I was hoping with the black we could get some federal funding.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, we'll get lots of that.
Maybe somebody from the Cocoa Dollar.
I have a very important question. You know, it's been many years. I would like to ask Reagan first. Reagan Fox, is your vagina retarded?
My vagina ain't handicapped.
Okay.
My vagina ain't handicapped.
My vagina ate Andy Cap.
Andy Cap.
Who's Andy Cap? Oh, the cartoon?
Did you love
me? No, the hot fries. Didn't you used to eat Andy Cap's hot fries?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Oh. Do you even know what those are?
I have no idea what they are.
I thought Andy Cap is a cartoon.
Well, it's a cartoon, but then they made hot fries with Andy Cap on the front. People who live in the Midwest and are former fatties will know what I'm talking about.
I am all of that and a present fatty even, but I still have not heard of them.
Yes, but you're a Jew.
I have a question. I may have messed this up. I'm having a very Madge Weinstein moment. Am I supposed to be recording things on my end?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
But I'm also recording it.
Okay, good.
So
yeah,
we'll just go with that for now.
Okay.
We'll just go with my
recording.
That's
why she didn't have feedback.
We can fix it next week. I'll just use my recording this week. How's that? It sounds fine.
Am I going to sound crystal clear and beautiful, like Crystal Gale?
You sound good.
Okay,
well,
good.
We've been doing this for 6 years, and we still haven't figured it out, ladies.
Well, I don't understand why.
Well, actually, Wanda, you can still send... Reagan sounds better than Wanda's. Wanda's, you can still send me yours, and I'll still mix yours in.
Yeah, meow.
And then, by Reagan, you sound fine. Wanda's is a little Skypey because she's a little bit discombobulated. I'm also
drunk.
In a basement today.
She's drunk.
I'm in my sister's basement.
Is that a euphemism?
No, I don't eat her. Listen, Reagan, what's new? Did you have something you wanted to share with us?
Did you like the video that I posted on your Facebook walls?
Yes, the vagina retarded video. I did. I assume you're doing that because the queen of vagina posted a video called "My Vagina's Retarded, Not Retarded." Period. Pussy.
What?
You didn't know that?
What you're talking about?
Seriously?
I have no idea. Who is the queen of retarded?
The queen of vagina is this lady, Mazela Diamond, and she's the one that does those songs. Mrs. Obama is a whore. Fuck my pussy.
I love her.
Fuck my pussy. Fuck my pussy. I am queen of vagina. Vagina, vagina. Promiscuous, promiscuous, promiscuous with vagina.
I've never heard of this person.
Oh my God, well, you're going to love her.
She just posted a song this week called "My Vagina Is Not Retarded."
Oh my God, maybe the handicap, the cripple was trying to copy the retard. Yeah.
And the breakdown of the song is like, eat my tampon, eat my tampon, eat my tampon.
That sounds right up your alley. That is like literally your who's a big singer that people love? I don't, your Lady Gaga.
Adele. I like Adele.
Because she's fat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you identify with fat singers?
Yes, I do. And I gave Lady Bunny a parody idea, and I think she's going to do it. It has to do with Adele. And that song, what is that song with all the shot glasses on the floor?
Yeah. What if you did like a parody of a farmer in...
Yeah. Doop, drop, doop.
The farmer in Adele. It could be a porn...
Yeah.
So, Wanda, I haven't talked to you in forever.
I know. It literally has been years.
Okay, so you have to catch me up. I'm going to give you two options, and you tell me which one you're currently at. Drunk, okay. Sober.
Sober.
Fat, skinny.
Neither.
Oh, good.
What do you mean neither?
Fatter.
Wait
getting
a second.
Fatter.
You're not. Every picture I've seen, skinny implies,
you know, waifish or anorexic, and I'm not.
I think what he meant was, are you a relapse on fiat?
Oh, no. Okay. No. I'm still working out more than I should.
Damn it. Damn it. Oh, I saw somebody. I love Twitter. I love Twitter so much. And I've read a lot of really funny tweets in the past couple of days. Like, one of my friends said that he is straight skinny but gay fat.
What does that mean? Oh, I get it.
Yeah. And then another one, you know, like when they do the hashtags and it's some type of like creative take on movie titles. Uh-huh. This one was like a creative take on movie sequels, but it was like movie sequel mashup. And the one that I thought was hysterically funny was Human Centipede 2, Havana Nights.
Yes. Do you know, I never knew about that movie. I saw the commercial for it or whatever when it was coming out. But then I had to Wikipedia to find out what it was about.
Didn't we talk about it?
No, I don't know, but I missed that whole thing.
Oh. It's a good movie.
My friend Peter Brackey, who is a big horror movie aficionado, he was telling me about the sequel. The sequel was just banned in, I think, the UK.
You mean it's already out?
Yeah. And, in the sequel, the human centipede becomes 12 segments.
Yeah.
And the mad scientist evidently masturbates with... with sandpaper, and then
that's Cheryl.
And he has butt sex with the last segment of the centipede.
There's also shit eating involved, I believe.
Hold on, is this on? Like, has this movie been released?
Well, if it's banned, I'm guessing somebody saw it. I just thought it was another day at the Coco Dorm.
Well, it is another day at the Coco Dorm, but that's neither here nor there.
The Coco Peed.
Coco Peed.
Don't give me any ideas. Listen, Reagan, check your... I sent you a Skype message.
Okay, let me see.
And also, my vagina itches. What else? I'm stalling because I have no topics.
I have topics.
Do you?
I did research.
What you got?
Okay, here are the topics.
Yeah.
Hot topics.
Oh my God. Ooh, I got a chill.
I know. That was probably an STD. Okay, the first topic I really want to talk about is this whole Tracy Morgan business.
Okay, good topic.
Yeah, so I guess I'll let people know in case you're a fetus or live under a rock. So Tracy Morgan has a history, I guess, of saying homophobic things. Like, he believes that homosexuality is a choice and whatever. So he went up to do his stand-up routine and went into this whole homophobic rant. And it wasn't – okay, look. I understand what it means to do comedy where you're offending people, and but there was really no punchline in any of this. There was no narrative. I mean, it was basically just an anti-gay.
Was it funny or not?
No, that's what I was saying. There was no. It wasn't like, for instance, I'll give you an idea of one of the things he said. Okay. He said, "If my son comes home and then starts talking like, and he starts imitating what he thinks a gay person sounds like,
you.
And says and tells me that he's gay, I'll stab that N-word in the face."
So he said the N-word too.
there's no like, you know, ba-dum, boom after that. You know, there's just like no punchline whatsoever, and it was a relatively long rant. And my take on this is that, first of all, I think it's disgusting that Tracy Jordan would say any of this, but I don't.
Morgan.
And I certainly am happy that he is being held accountable to this, and he's now profusely apologizing, and he's doing like pro-gay activism now, I guess, to atone for his sin. But yeah. I find that every time I go to see stand-up comedy, and I'm kind of in the thick of it for LA because I live in West Hollywood, so I've been to the Laugh Factory and I've been to the West Hollywood Improv. Every time I go there, it's primarily straight guys telling jokes about gay people and not funny jokes.
What?
So I'm equally as offended by the fact that
I had no idea. Really?
Oh, yeah, this world of stand-up is really, really homophobic. So my point is that I believe that, you know, Tracy Jordan's feet should be held Tracy Morgan. His character is Tracy Jordan, 30 Rock. His feet should be held over the fire for this, but I do believe that the problem is more systemic and more indicative of the world of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to take Tracy Morgan to task for this, then we really have to implicate the entire community from which he comes.
And it's probably not the first time we've gone after the black person a little bit more than maybe, you know.
Absolutely.
Some others.
Absolutely.
Well, why is that? It doesn't make sense to me. You're in California, which I thought is liberal, and all this business. What do you mean they're telling homophobic jokes and that's it? I don't care. If it's funny, it's funny. That's good. But how do you even get a laugh out of that? I mean, what?
And the audience, this wasn't in California. This was, I forget exactly where it was, like North Carolina or something. Like, I don't think it was North Carolina. I can't remember. Yeah. But he was, I think around 14 people from the reports I read got up and left the auditorium.
Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Thanks. And don't ever interrupt me again. Thin ice, huh? Wanda. Thin ice.
What?
You're skating on thin ice, and even though you may be skinny, remember, straight skinny, gay fat. So that thin ice is cracking, Wanda. No, and most of the people in the audience from the reports that I read were hooting and hollering, saying, "Go, Tracy, you tell him, Tracy." Just not good. And that to me is even more upsetting than what Tracy Morgan said.
Yeah.
That anti-gay mob mentality, that it's scary to me.
Is it Morgan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I'm confused.
Wow. You know who Tracy Morgan is, right? He's the guy from 30 Rock. He played Brian Fellows on...
Brian Fellows!
That's one of my favorite characters in the history.
Me too.
It's upsetting to me.
Yeah. It's funny, I've been reading Tina Fey's book, and she talks a lot about how what you're describing was very similar in the world of improv for women, and that it was very sexist against women until she kind of broke it by becoming the first female writer of SNL and bringing on, you know, oftentimes more women than men and having skits with two women. Like, for example, the famous skit she did in 2008 with Amy Poehler, where she, you know, she and Katie Couric were... what's that idiot's name?
Wanda Wisdom.
Hey!
Yes. Wanda Wisdom and Katie Couric during that interview. where she talks about Alaska. But she talks about how, like, she had an improv producer, a director in Second City, you know, which is one of the, if the not most respected one. And she said, you know what? The producer said, two women together aren't funny. Nobody wants to see that. You know, but that's just a little example of how incredibly big, you know, girdle.
Mm-hmm. Misogynist.
Misogynist that was. And they were able to change that with some, basically, by having somebody fight it like her.
Although the world of stand-up, I mean, the world of improv and the world of stand-up are certainly related and overlap a lot. Mm-hmm. And there are people who do both. But, I mean, the world of stand-up is certainly still extremely misogynistic.
Right.
I mean, you hear a lot of anti-female humor.
Because there was, you know, maybe that if the improv was able to change, maybe there's hope for this stand-up business.
Yeah.
Why is that, though? Why is it so misogynistic? I mean, is there something about stand-up comedy? Is it the alcohol? Is it the clientele that comes there? Is it the... What is it? I don't get it.
Well, if you just appreciate that they're reflections of the culture, then the things we laugh at are probably, I don't know, maybe the things that we don't like about ourselves. So in large part, it's going to be the things we're uncomfortable with. I don't know.
Yeah, see, I think I'm in a bubble because I'm in a big city that's very liberal. And people don't do stuff like that. Like you would never say, like the kids in school are very, you know, they may make gay jokes or whatever, but, you know, you have all this Glee stuff and you've got the Dan Savage stuff, and it's become a very positive atmosphere for gay kids, for all kids, and to not be so mean to maybe it just hasn't grown up yet. Maybe once those people grow up, they won't be doing
that. One of his other diatribes was this whole push against the anti-gay bullying campaign.
Yeah.
Where he thinks that gay people, and especially gay kids, need to just toughen up and stop complaining and being such pussies.
This coming from a man named Tracy. Like what? But I think this coincides perfectly with that study that was printed in Psychology Today. Did you read this about how homophobic men have a strong response? They basically get erections from watching gay porn. Whereas straight, non-homophobic men.
Ooh, this is a new study. I did not know about this.
Yeah, Psychology. So you have straight homophobic men. Penis gets hard watching porn.
Really? Straight, how do they do that study?
They have a penis test thing. They test the circumference. They've been doing that for years. That's how they...
No, I know that, but I mean, how did they get homophobes to agree to do that?
I guess they offered them money.
Well, and they probably had but they probably didn't put an ad out in the Alternative Weekly and said, wanted rapidly homophobic people. Like, have you gay bashed at least three people? Come participate in our study. I'm sure there were screening questions. Yeah. You know, they just invited a bunch of guys and then
come watch porn.
And then they tested them based on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, here, homophobic men most aroused by gay male porn. I did not know about this.
Ooh. Well, this is going to sound corny, but I don't care. I watched the last episode of Oprah, and I was very moved by a number of the things that she said.
I watched it too only because I read your post about it, but go ahead.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
I did. I mean, I did, but I have some buts about it too. But I mean, I think it was good. I think that she has brought an incredible amount. She's done a lot of good. She's done so much good by just being what she's been doing what she's doing for the past 20 years, 25 years, whatever. So I think she's done some great things. I think she had some wonderful things to say. I also think she's a bit grandiose, but that was just kind of hilarious.
A bit?
I mean, it became almost a religious thing, you know, and she's like,
for several people, and she makes no bones about that.
Right, but, and that's what was good about it, too, that she just was proud. She was just saying, this is me. I'm not going to hide it.
I was talking to a friend, and we were talking about the final episode this last week, and what we love about Oprah, I mean, especially in that last episode, is she can take an idea that is really complex and find a way to whittle it down to a sentence. And it's a very simple idea, but it's also very profound. So, and I'm going to get the wording here off, but she said, the one thread that goes through all of our misery and sadness and, you know, everything that's bad in the world is a feeling of unworthiness.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and that really spoke to me because I think of all of the bad decisions that I've made in my life and how I do that from a place of insecurity or feeling that I'm not good enough. And I believe you could apply that logic to the study that you just talked about, where, of course, there's a link between homophobia and perhaps and the sexual proclivities or desires of homophobic men, because their hatred is a form of unworthiness.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Well, that they don't feel they don't feel worthy of what their inclinations are telling them that they desire.
In other words, they're gay, is what you're saying. But they
I don't think all homophobic people are gay. Certainly many – well, I think everybody is homophobic. I believe that homophobia is built into the very structures of how we communicate. Yeah. And I also believe that gay men are some of the most homophobic people that there are out there. And yeah.
Interesting. You know what I particularly liked about it actually was – what she said is when she talked about, you know, she said, I don't have any regrets for the show. I can't believe I'm talking about Oprah. I'm going to make myself puke. I don't have any regrets about the show, but one thing I wish I could have done more is this business, you know, helping kids who are abused. And I found that to be particularly moving because she's done like half her shows about fucking child abuse. But it shows to me, it's like that somebody can be so disgusted by an injustice that you can chase it for your whole life and still not even reach the tip of the iceberg.
But I get it. I totally understand what she's talking about because my experiences of being abused when I was a kid sexually, I've never been able to let that go. And I was so moved. I didn't watch the actual episode with Tyler Perry when he came out of the abuse closet and all the men in the audience held up pictures of themselves at the age that they were sexually abused. But when I saw that flashback in the final episode, it really, really struck a chord with me. It's so powerful.
I think it was so moving because I think, and this maybe ties in with the unworthiness too, because, you know, here's a problem that is so huge and so many people would say, you know what, you can't do anything about it. You can't change the world. Don't do anything. And you have somebody like Oprah who went in and spent 25 years chasing this problem and trying to do something about it. And making very small inroads, but still doing it, but still having the conviction to keep trying to do it and realize as much work as she's done, and she has done a lot, to see that there's always so much more you can almost not tell where your progress was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, like, I feel the same way about animal abuse in a lot of ways. Like, I've seen some things on the internet. I won't even get specific about what they do to animals. That it just makes me so sick. And it just can create this feeling of I can't do anything. You know, I think it takes a lot to be able to try and do something about a problem that appears to be so huge and is.
Yeah, just talk about, I mean, Wanda, how did you feel about your weight loss?
Huge.
I mean, when you first started going to the gym, were you like, I'm so overwhelmed by all of this? But you did it.
Well, yeah, and I think you know.
I'm kidding. Don't even do the fucking thing.
You don't even think.
I love how you're having an open
Oh my God, you gotta.
You don't even think you to yourself.
Sorry.
That your fat is. You know, that's another human being that you're living with.
What do you mean?
And you have to destroy it.
Della Reese.
You have to kill it, and so you really. I mean, I'm a murderer.
What? I don't get it. What do you mean? This fatty is not you?
Because she had so much fat on her that when she got rid of the fat, it was like she killed another person.
Oh, you mean physically? It was like
no. Yes, I had to destroy the person that was attached to me.
All over you.
Were you high in trans fats?
So stupid.
I have another hot topic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So the big controversy with the appellate court for the Prop 8 trial is, you know, the judge, Judge Von Walker, is gay.
He's a faggot.
Yeah, he's a faggot. He's a dirty, filthy, disgusting faggot. maggot. Mm-hmm. But now the people who advocate on behalf of Proposition 8 say that his ruling should be thrown out because he is gay. So gay people can't rule on gay issues in the court, which of course is absolutely ridiculous, because if that were the case and we set that precedent, then heterosexual people could not rule in anything to do with heterosexual matters, or black people to do with anything dealing with black matters. But what do you think? Anybody disagree?
I don't. This whole judicial activism things, not judicial activism, but going at all these, I think both sides are doing it. The liberals, the conservatives are going after the judges. And I think it's not right. I think you got to leave the judges the fuck alone, let them do their thing. Like Clarence Thomas should be recusing himself from, what is that fucking thing? Oh, the healthcare thing. But that's kind of huge. I don't know. It's hard to not be a contradiction, I guess.
Yeah.
Clarence Thomas shouldn't even be a Supreme Court justice.
He should. Have you seen the interview with his wife?
No.
Oof. No. Oof. I did just last week watch a videotape of the Anita Bryant, Clarence Thomas.
Anita Bryant.
I'm mixing. You know,
Anita Bryant too? He threw more than a pie in her face.
Give me oranges. Look at this big black dong. What did he say to Anita Hill about, what did he call his penis? Was it like long dong silver or something like that?
Is a porn star, a black porn star from 70s or 80s.
It's terrible. But it was so weird to watch, because there you had Anita Hill talking before Congress, and you had all of these white guys, and one of them said, maybe like Orrin Thatch or somebody, "Tell us, Miss Hill, are you not a woman scorned?" It was just so weird.
I think this particular case is just one more example of, you know, if you don't have an argument or a legal argument to stand on, then you try to
attack the judge,
attack the people that are, or the process, or I mean, it's, you know, it's the last thing you have.
It's like an ad hominem argument.
Yeah.
And it's just another way of discrediting
an ad hominem.
What do you think about this business? You know, I started this I started my first Tumblr. There's no E. Tumblr. Grindr. Called douchebagsofgrindr.tumblr.com, where I post all these douchebags. And it's amazing, like, the constant supply of douchebags that people send me now.
But I got questions about this. So intro your story so I can have my feedback.
The introduction is, there are these douchebags that I've been finding. Well, no, I shouldn't say. I'm not the one that's doing this. I have a friend who does it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. And this friend.
Is his name
Will.
George Glass. Okay.
So this friend finds a lot of these posts. Well, I see the posts because I subscribe to this Twitter sheet. But it's like there's a lot of them that say they don't like camp, meaning this is a new code for Queenie men, I think, or maybe it's British or something.
Well, and it's kind of like when people say flamboyant and they really mean to say faggot.
No fats or fams.
Right. I'm trying to understand what all this is about. The mask prof, not wearing shirts, just showing your nipple and then making all these demands. You know, like you have these pictures of somebody, you know, basically just their nipple. Like, and then it's like, must show face, must be masked. No femmes, no fats, no olds, no blah.
Well, no, I get saying show me your face because I get really...
I do too, but if you're showing your nipple and you want somebody to show you their face, it's kind of weird.
Oh, I see. So they're not even showing you their face and they're demanding that you... No, I'm sorry. And the thing is with Grindr, I won't even... If your face isn't part of your profile picture, I will not even respond to you, because it's part of a mentality that suggests that gay people should be hidden and conceal their identities. And so it's
how do you know that that's even their face? Isn't that just the only comfort you're getting by seeing a face?
Comfort
is some phony assumption that that's their face.
Well, I believe by and large that most people who show their faces on Grindr are legitimately showing their faces.
It's a screening process. I've gotten pretty good at screening it. Like, I can tell pretty well whether a photograph is real or not. For example,
or recent.
Yeah, you can tell because, like, first of all, you have to immediately rule out any photo that's grainy or blurry. Or it looks like it's zoomed in from, like, a photograph that somebody scanned. Okay, that's obviously wrong. It should look just like a photo that came from an iPhone that's maybe cropped but not blown up. And
there aren't pictures of their best girlfriend.
Right. That's the other thing. That's what I wanted to talk about, too. Is like, why do so many of them put a girl in there? Like, what is the point of that, Reagan?
I believe it could be, speaking hypothetically, because I'm hardly ever on Grindr, but yes. I believe it, because I have a picture of my friend Rachel and I up, but I swirl her face out, and it's just because I look good in the picture, and like where I think we have our arms around one another, so it wouldn't make sense to crop her out.
Yeah. But see, I think the best pictures, I really do look, it's really hard to tell what your own picture looks like. It's really hard to judge your own picture, but I find that the pictures that look best of me are the ones that I would generally look at and say, oh, I don't like that picture because it's really me. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like
a picture that's
really me.
Anything that's too posed
right.
or looks like a professional
oh,
shot
yeah, because
for a dating
want...
website, I'm like, no. It doesn't give you any idea of what the person no. looks like.
Back Photoshop. In the day when I might have been on similar sites.
Yeah. Like Tuesday.
Like, no, I don't. I have, you know, missed the whole Grindr bus, sadly, but I was always hypercritical of my photograph. Like, I don't want to imply that I'm anything other than what I am, because the worst thing you could have is somebody, you know.
So you just had your hood on?
my clitoral hood.
Your white hood. Your white.
There's a
hood.
Burning cross in the background of Wanda's image.
No blacks, no fams.
There was one I read. I don't. That's I put it on the. Or my friend put it on the blog too. It says I don't speak Ebonics. No blacks.
Now I will say though, with that, with the douchebags of Grindr, Tumblr. I mean, it's a clever idea, and there are some that made me. Lol, I believe is how the kids say it.
Yeah.
But some of them, I did not understand why they were on there. And
yeah, I agree with that.
And I think if I know who's supplying you with photographs.
You mean George Glass.
Yes, George Glass might perhaps be somewhat hypercritical.
Yeah, well, it's...
And there was no humor in, like, I appreciate it when you see something and it's clearly, you know, there is a humorous take to be taken.
It's
but
tricky,
it
actually.
Just, it shouldn't just be attacking gay guys for the sake of attacking gay. You know, there are certain profiles on Grindr without question that need to be attacked. In fact, I'm just going to go to the website right now.
Okay.
It's douchebagsofgrindr.com.
Mm-hmm. That Tumblr.com. That Tumblr.
Okay, got. Oh, sorry.
That's
Tumblr.
My friend's website, George's.
George Glass.
Okay. So, like, for instance, this first guy, his name is Eric, spelled A-R-I-C. Okay, that alone gets him on the website. And then his profile reads, if you think I maybe, and maybe is all one word, out of your league, you're probably right. Let's not waste my time. Smiley face. Like, that warrants a smiley face. Shouldn't that be a frown or a dirty look? Like, that yeah. guy deserves to be...
I mean, basically, does it? And I realize that George is not the best editor in the world, but I'm sure he'll get better with practice. But I think what happens is a lot of times people send him the pictures, and maybe he feels obligated to post them, even if they're not truly douchey.
Well, sometimes I think it turns into I am not attracted by people who present themselves for sexual consumption this way.
Yes.
When I think those things are perfectly acceptable, if you're into you know, presenting yourself as a hyper-masculine person. I mean, this is a sexual context we're talking about. So I think the rules are, you know, different.
George Glass is such an asshole. I just scrolled down and saw, a profile. I was like, why is this person
Which
on?
One?
And I looked up and it said Nick Starr.
Yeah, because that's a whole joke, yeah.
That's hysterically funny, though.
But, you know, if there's some sort of irony.
Well, what about
okay, this
one?
Guy, Jason, I don't understand why he's on the site.
I don't either.
An attractive guy. He says, in town for a few days. I'm cocky, picky, try me if you dare. No fatties old. I love other jocks or twinks with smooth asses. It's 2011. Get a pick. I don't think. Well, I mean, he says no fatties are old, but
yeah. I mean, it's borderline. But for me, I guess if I were the impersonating, say, I would just ask myself: does this person in his profile come off as a douchebag? In this case, I would say yes. Just because I believe one has to have some humility. And when person just is so arrogant.
Yeah, but if that's what you're trying to convey, obviously he's trying to say, I'm a big, butch, angry homo. I want to fuck you in the ass.
I'm cocky, picky, try me if you dare. I think that's a bit douchey.
I don't understand why the planking pictures are douchey. I think planking is, I mean, I don't participate in planking, but I think it's funny. I wouldn't call it necessarily douchey.
Oh, okay. I'll tell George to take them off. It's so annoying and zeitgeisty that it's... the other thing is, like, sometimes there are
Okay, come on. This is funny. Listen. This is funny. George Glass needs to get a sense of humor. Okay. Daniel's picture on page 2 that says, please be under 35 or have a private jet. Yeah. That's clearly a tongue-in-cheek
comment. It is funny. Totally. But the thing is... It's douchebags of Grindr's.
Oh my
name
god! I know some of these.
See, this is the problem. This is why.
Oh, of course, I've never been on Grindr.
I know this person lives in Minneapolis.
Oh, sure, Daniel? You've met them on Grindr and had.
Oh, absolutely not.
Well, there's a comment that said, "Oh my god, I laughed so hard. This is me." So maybe that's who it is. But the thing is, I realize that this one is not douchey. I of course realize it's tongue in cheek. But the thing is. In order to share, this is the problem when you create a Tumblr that's so specific about douchebags, that it's like, okay, well, it's not really a douchebag, but it's something that George probably wanted to share anyway. You know what I mean? So it's really probably shouldn't be on there, but I think he just wanted to share it because it was funny.
Okay. I think it should just stick to really douchey people. Here's what I think.
Kind of like people of Walmart, like you should look at the photo and just know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be obvious. It's not anything that you should dig for. Well, there are several interpretations of douchebag and have a big philosophical statement on. No, it needs to be exactly like Wanda gives you the perfect prototype.
All right, let's go through and I will delete the ones that aren't douchey enough. Let's see. So we agree. Well, Nick Starr shouldn't be in there. That was a joke, so we'll get rid of her. We'll take rid of Jason.
Maybe we shouldn't do this right now on the show, though.
Oh, no, we're going to take care of this right now. Let's get rid of the planking.
I have another hot topic.
Okay.
So do ahead. I have one too.
What about the guy with no head? Is that douchey? Or?
Oh no, we're not.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Which one is the guy with no head?
But is that douchey?
Where is he?
He's like, under the
he
plankers.
He has nothing though.
Is he page 2 or page 3 or page 1?
I don't know.
I think that's page 1.
Okay, let's see.
I'm on the Skype with George telling him what to delete. It's a little complicated. I can't.
And the person I recognize in Minneapolis is. Oops, where did he go?
Yeah, the guy with no head is actually, that's pretty douchey.
Okay.
It's like Death Becomes Her after Meryl Streep gets hit in the head with a shovel and her head is...
All right.
Okay.
Next topic.
What's your hot topic?
Is Duckface douchey, though, real quick? Duckface?
Where's Duckface?
You need to know because there's a whole website devoted to people with Duckface.
So you don't think that counts?
No. If it was Duckface and other things... Okay. Duckface Wanda is when people like... pucker up their lips in a photo like,
just go to the anti-duck face website.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay,
this
what's
one.
Your hot topic?
I thought you had
hot
one.
Topic. Oh. The one I was going to talk about is the men who have been impersonating lesbians.
That's awful. I mean, I don't even get that.
It's very, I mean, did you read the story about how, like, the one we found out about the, I mean, it was really kind of serendipitous. Serendipitous.
Hold on. I have things to say about this controversy, but I need to find something before I say it.
Find. So I will,
you
while
know what
Reagan
the most,
is
I'm
finding
sorry.
Something.
I have an aside real quick about the douchebags, because one of the things that, I thought it was funny, is the most reblogged and favorited picture by far is the picture of the guy, and I don't think people even know this when they liked it, but he's the founder of Grindr.
Oh, the Indian guy?
I don't think he's Indian. He's Jewish. He's from Israel.
Oh, okay. But dark hair and...
It's the one that says Joel on top. And he's got a Lady Gaga mask on, and he says, born this way, born proud and gay. Being gay has allowed me to think outside the box and not settle for conventional wisdom.
Okay, born this way. I know this is old news. I hate the phrase born this way. I just don't.
No, it's like saying, like, it's just the weirdest message if you think about it. I don't know. To me, it just seems...
So, and Lady Gaga, who is so clearly aware that gender and sexuality are performances. They're not something that we're born with. Like, inclinations, yes. Like, who you're attracted to, yes, I believe that. But, like, the whole... I'm not going to get into it because this is so old
news. It's kind of like I'm a gimp. I was born without this leg. You know what I mean? Like...
Wanda, I think you out of anybody should embrace the born this way message.
It reinforces bad self-esteem. Anyway,
here's my response to it. All I know, I don't read that Les blah, 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 blah.
Let's get real.
I have heard a show called Yeast Radio with Madge Weinstein, and this is what I have to
say. That's me. I'm a lesbian, though.
Oh, shit. Madge is a hoax. I listened to the latest Yeast Radio podcast and laughed until I realized it was all an act. I looked over at my friend Adam and asked him how he felt about this. Not good. Then he asked how I felt. And I said I rep Madge as being something other than what she or he was. An act. I'm so glad we're doing an instant podcast to explain and raise questions.
Yeah. I believe the title of that article was Harvard Man Caught in Lesbian Mix-Up on the Register.
Whatever happened to Dave Weiner?
He's still out there. He's just so fucking rich. He sold these companies and he lives in New York, rides his bicycle around and tweets.
What happened to Adam Curry?
I'm not sure. He's faded into obscurity till he comes up with the next cockamamie excuse to steal money from venture capitalists.
So he does he even do a podcast anymore?
I'm not sure. I guess. I'm sure he does, yeah. I mean, I don't know. He quit Mevio Podshow, that company that he founded. He doesn't work for them anymore.
Does that company still exist?
Yes. They still host things and lie about their statistics.
Oh. Well, who does? That's a good topic. Who doesn't lie about their statistics?
Well, it depends on which ones. I'm talking about penis. This is another topic I have. Why are penises on the internet so fucking huge?
What do you mean?
They're huge on the internet, penises. When you see a penis on the internet, they're ridiculously huge.
Perspective.
Honey, they're fucking huge. I'm a lesbian. I know these things. I film black porn, for God's sake. I know what a big penis looks like.
Speaking of penis, what do y'all think about the Anthony Weiner scandal? Do you think he should resign?
No.
Neither do I.
All right.
What about you, Wanda?
Actually, I would, but I guess, why do you say no?
I say no because, first of all, they didn't catch him actually having sex with anybody. And really, I wrote this on my Facebook a few days ago, I don't fucking care. I don't care about, I just don't care. I don't want to know about the sex lives of politicians, and I don't want them caring about my sex life. I think we need to remove sex and politics. If it doesn't, I don't care.
Your argument was good on that thing I read of yours, which was, we'll stay out of your bedroom, you stay out of ours, the end.
Right.
Well, right. I do on, like, that was my reaction to this whole story was, in this day and age, for somebody to tweet a photo of their bulging underparts, this is news. This is a reason to stop national debate on the large issues.
And the
issues.
Thing is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I really don't know if I'm right about this, but people keep saying, oh, he tweeted this and it's so public and Twitter is public. But didn't he send it? I don't think he sent it to all of his followers.
No, he did, but he did it. It was a typo. So he basically, instead of DMing her, and that was what he said in his apology, was that he had intended to send this privately and then it was sent publicly.
How do you make that mistake? When I go to Twitter and I send a direct message, it's not like I type something to get a direct message. I have to click on send a message. Like
it depends on the interface you're using.
Which app you're using. Because I've done that before.
I did it yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm a lesbian.
It's certainly plausible, but I mean, you know, it's at this point, you'd...
Who cares? I don't care if it was an accident or not, or if he did tweet it.
Right, it really is. It's not immaterial because it does make a difference.
It would make him appear to be completely crazy to tweet your penis to the world when you're.
It says a lot. I think the scandal says a lot more about U.S. culture, like the puritanical views of U.S. culture, than it does about this guy. And I think it's ridiculous that he's even taking some time off.
And I think it is about...
And he's getting therapy.
I think it is about puritanical views and everything else, like this bullshit when people say, well, he lied about it. Uh-uh. No, that doesn't work because you know what? Every motherfucking one of those people in the Capitol, except maybe one person, lied in order to go to war and kill zillions of people and they're still in fucking office. Well, Don't tell me lying is something that excludes somebody from politics.
The thing that I kept thinking was you don't know what relationships or what rules people have with one another. So in this case...
Right, right. Because somebody in my Facebook feed said, well, they disagreed with my statement. They said, well, you know, I don't like what he did to his wife, and if his wife can't trust him, why should the country trust him?
Business.
And I was like, you have no idea what type of marriage that he has and what type of
you don't know what she knew or didn't know or approved of or didn't approve of. She could have known about his, you know.
Well, I think it's part of the whole celebrity gossip culture where we think we have the right to know. I know Reagan probably disagreed because he loves to do with it on the shit. We think we have the right to know and judge everybody who's famous and their personal lives. And I just think that's a crack of shit.
Well, no, I believe that I don't think we have a right to know because I believe that people have a right to privacy. But I do believe if it gets out there, we have a right to judge. But I do not believe that we should be encouraging people to step down from public office for something as stupid as this.
Well, and your judgment should be entitled to be as roundly ridiculous or, you know...
Yeah, like I guess that's true.
Because if you're going to make a judgment about something that you heard that supposedly became public, you know, again, you have to take it for what it is, which is, you know, based on not the entirety of the situation. So,
yeah, and I guess I'm being kind of hypocritical because I'm saying that people have a right to judge, but then they're judging, and then we turn around and I'm judging them for their judgment. So, yeah. I guess it's a little circular.
We can just all judge as long as we realize it's, you know, irrelevant and doesn't really mean a hill of beans.
Uh-huh. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Because it's the same with Bill Clinton. Like, he, you know, we don't know what Hillary Clinton knew.
That took away all his political power. Everything. What? He was his power was completely eliminated by that Monica Lewinsky thing. I mean, I don't think that was really right. I don't give a shit if he lied about it. It's a fucking... It's sex. Like why,
in this culture, why would a politician not lie about
right.
it?
Well, the most profound thing probably said in this 50 minutes that we've been together is when Mad said...
Hot dogs. There is America.
Oops, sorry.
What the fuck was that?
What was that?
I heard hot dogs.
Apple pie. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That
was is when Mad said that we... and actually, I did say this too in my Facebook thread where I said, the question we need to ask ourselves is because politicians do, in fact, lie all the time. What we need to point the finger back at ourselves and ask ourselves, when is it that we are holding politicians accountable to their lies? And I think it's very telling that we hold them accountable whenever it's about issues of sex and sexuality. And then you made the point that, yeah, of course, like when somebody lies to get us into a war, we don't say, okay, now let's bring this person to trial for war crimes or, you know, let's figure out what they lied about. But when they get a blowjob, that's right. When we're like, okay, impeachment.
I think a lot of it is reflective, like, it's about not looking at ourselves. And a lot of times the things that we're judging people most severely on, things that are our own frailties, like most people, I think it's very common to react and have a situation happen like this wiener happen. Okay, you tweet your fucking dick to somebody by accident, you take it off, and you do it to somebody else. Are you hold, as a critic, as an American who's judging this guy, are you holding him to a higher standard than you would hold yourself?
Oh yeah, people do it all the time.
Yeah, and
it's,
I think there's something really weird about
the quality of America. We
but,
always
but I don't
want
know many people who would lie in order to kill, you know, thousands of people and go to war. Yet that's fine. It's just
but
weird.
You know, but see, even with war, we will then turn and we will turn on the people. That's I think how that's how sick we are. Is we, you know, hold people to a standard that we don't want to, or like with the war, for example, you know, everybody said, let's go to war. And then when it goes south, we suddenly are like, why are we at war? Why, you know, this is costing too much money. The, you know, bad political decisions were made. And all of a sudden we want to hold people accountable because like it or not, I mean, people ultimately kind of turned on George Bush towards the end of his presidency.
Yeah.
But these are the same people that rushed us to war in the right. first place.
Right.
Yeah.
So we should
or look at the bailout. The bailout's another huge example of that, where you had all of these people. You know, the bailout happens before we get a new president. All these people are like, "Yes, we have to bail out Wall Street. Too big to fail. Too big to fail." And then when Obama wins the presidency, then suddenly all these people on the other side of the aisle are like, oh, "We can't believe that he gave Wall Street that handout. And look at him kowtowing to corporate interests and."
It's just like the debt ceiling. Like when Bush raised the debt ceiling like every fucking year, the Republicans just rubber stamped it. We have to do this. You know, it's the war, patriotism, blah, blah. And now Obama tries to do it and they fight like, oh, fiscal irresponsibility, you're bankrupting the country, you're a socialist, die.
Yeah.
Same fucking people. I think we should try and come up with a solution though because we don't want to be too negative. So the solution to all of these problems is what?
It's really finding our spirits.
Well, and you create a Tumblr.
Just remember Tumblr. You were born this way.
And
a Tumblr about what?
And a book.
Oh my God! I'm gonna do a Judeo-Christian parody of Born This Way called Unborn This Way.
Reborn. I want to know if
that'd be the Indian one, wouldn't it?
No, not that kind of reborn. I mean, like born again this way.
Born again this way. That'll be the sequel parody to Unborn This Way.
So the solution is, if you feel this way about
a philosophical level, it's, I believe, just our masculinist approach to persuasion, where you have two people who have different ideological points of view and they come into a conversation with one another and the goal is domination. The goal is winning.
Right, like that fighting. Like
if I haven't
sport.
Changed your mind, then I've lost. And that's why things often devolve into ad hominem personal attacks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like a more feminine approach to this would be to realize that people have different perspectives and being open to changing your perspective. It's a huge paradigm shift.
That really reinforces the theme to today's program, which is pussy ain't handicapped.
My pussy ain't, my vagina ain't handicapped.
And retarded. But let's say somebody agrees with what let's say somebody thinks, you know what, this wiener should not be removed from office for exposing his namesake. What should they do? You know, should you just sit here and bitch about it and agree with us and write a comment and that's it? Or is there something more you can do so that...
Yes, I know what you do.
What?
You tweet a picture of your own bits and pieces.
Oh,
bits
yes. It could be like, I am... what's the movie where they all stand up and they say, I am...
Mad as hell, Spartacus? I'm not going to take it anymore?
No, like, I am Spartacus. Is that it?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Sure, I know
We're
what you're getting at.
Douche face.
Maybe I'm getting this
so
wrong.
You are. But I kind of get it.
I'm a wiener.
I am Spartacus.
I am a wiener.
I am a wiener.
I am a wiener. Actually, it's my mother's maiden name, too. And it's right what what's-his-face said. I think it was Bill Maher said, anybody in their right fucking mind would have changed that fucking name at Ellis Island. My relatives did. They changed it to Werner. Who fucking keeps wiener?
Wiener.
It was so funny. And Howard Stern had a funny take on it. He's like, you know what? This guy wanted out of politics. That's all there is to it. Like, he did not want the responsibility. It was subconscious. Maybe he doesn't know it, but he would never have done this unless he wanted out. Anyway, right. So that we've helped
he
empower people.
In and
right?
out.
We've empowered our audience or what?
Yeah,
I think people will feel empowered by today's program.
I think everybody with half a brain knows if you want to do something, you know you can do things to do it. Just it's a question of, are you going to do it or are you going to play Plants versus Zombies?
I love Plants versus Zombies.
Isn't it a wonderful
game? I've played
game?
That game so many times.
I love
can
it.
Can I tell you some of my other favorite games too?
Yes.
Have you played The Heist?
No. What's that?
The Heist is good. It's they're puzzle games for the iPhone and iPad. And then, the people who make Words with Friends have that Hangman game. That
do you have to have friends, though?
Yeah, so you're probably not going to be able to play it.
I have no friends on Game Center, none. And I've had it for
year. No. You connect through Facebook or Twitter.
Oh, my God. This is
the
most.
Oh, but see, I don't want to I don't like to add applications to my Facebook or my Twitter.
And for those of us who don't have iPhones, we will just go out in the street and play with
what kind
ourselves.
Of phone do you use, One Turd?
I have a ridiculous T-Mobile device that's actually got the old Windows operating system. It's a nice phone, but the operating system sucks. And I keep meaning to put Android on there.
I have a flip phone. I have a Razor.
I do. I have a gold.
No, she has the Crazer.
I have the Crazer. It's amazing. It's so thin.
So I think we would like to end. I would like to end this by talking with Reagan a little bit because I'm very excited to understand your new insights, having been exposed to several million viewers on your program, The Big Breather. How did that change you? Because I've always felt, you know, like I've always felt like going to rock concerts and stuff where you look like I remember going to a Robert Smith concert once. I was really stoned. And I was looking at him and I'm like, and it was at some outdoor amphitheater. And I thought, how the fuck that must like do something alter your consciousness to be able to look out and see like 30,000 people that are all like looking at you. I mean, does that change your perspective at all on life or on anything to know that millions of people are watching you pick your nose?
Well, it's different because I couldn't see any of the people watching me. And also, I was so far removed. You know, I had no idea how people were responding to me or my character on the show when I was in it.
Yeah.
I didn't know until after I came out of the house.
Not really?
Not really. I mean, my life certainly did alter after I came out of the house, but it's pretty much back to normal. And the parts that were abnormal have become normalized. So, like when I go out, I'm used to a few people coming up to me and, you know, who are fans of the show and talking to me about the show. I'm used to I have a ton of supporters and I have a ton of detractors. I'm kind of used to all of that. At first, though, it was really difficult because y'all know just from me doing Eat This Hot Show and Fox in the City that I used to have a really hard time with the people who would say hateful things to me or about me. And now, because I've had to deal with that on such a huge level, it's kind of like it doesn't really affect me.
So is it okay? So are you saying it's okay to leave the comment moderation open, or should we still moderate, you think?
Oh, no. Leave it open. Okay. I don't care.
Because it has been closed for a
while.
After
you've been through, and we were saying this when I was on the phone with you the other day. After you've been through what I've been through in terms of, the response, because Big Brother fans they're the Trekkies of reality TV. I mean, they're really hardcore. Anytime I post a picture and put it on Twitter, it's up on different Big Brother fan sites and forums. And some people are like, oh, he looks so good. Other people are like, he looks like a trash heap. Fuck that fucking faggot. Die. You know,
cry,
like,
baby.
Yeah, and when you deal with that,
did you say black baby?
Megan,
do you have
baby.
An illegitimate black baby?
He said crack baby.
Oh, black, sorry.
I don't even remember what I said now.
Well.
Cry baby.
Yeah, so it's not really.
I felt so bad when you commented on your blog about something, some suicide thing. Somebody at your gym killed themselves or something, jumped off the roof.
Oh, yeah.
And I commented because you were complaining about people. There was some earlier thread about you crying all the time. So I read that. I didn't read the comments before writing my own, duh. But I did, and I wrote, did you cry? And then I looked later, and I felt so bad because the girl before me just confessed how her father killed himself something. And it appeared like I was talking to her. It was mortifying. Learn my lesson.
Well, I will say this. This is one way that my personal paradigm has shifted. Uh-huh. I am a little bit more cognizant of the things that come out of my mouth and the implications of some of the things that I say, because a lot of the things that I said, not a lot of the things, but some of the things that I said in the house that were, I mean, really not that big of a deal, were completely ripped out of context. And so now I'm a little bit more careful with that, because I you know, say what you want to about me. I just don't want people taking my words and twisting them and, you know, using that to reflect something about my character.
But no major, like, moments. No, you didn't get any, like, huge insight into the nature of reality or anything like that by being on reality TV.
When you say insights about reality, do you mean, like, actual reality?
Yeah.
Or reality, like the real TV.
No, I mean reality, not reality TV. I'm sure you got insights into reality TV being on it.
Not really.
I'm looking. I just figured it would have to somehow change you drastically to have been through that experience.
Mm-mm.
No.
Well, and it's possible that if he has been changed, perhaps he's not aware.
No. And that's what I was saying, that in a lot of the ways that my life were altered and seemed foreign to me coming out of that experience have now become normalized in my life.
Yes.
So I don't think of them as, I don't think of myself as different. And I believe that many of the people who do Big Brother in particular don't get too caught up in any of this stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's, I think most of the people remain pretty grounded.
Uh-huh. Do you think it takes a certain kind of exhibitionist or narcissist to do that show?
Yes, absolutely. I believe that with any kind of reality show, but Big Brother in particular, just because of how invasive that show gets. It's the most invasive show that there is.
Would you consider being in the Coco dorm? Now that
Yeah. I don't think that my butthole could take it, because I haven't had anal in so long that it wouldn't be good.
What if you used a dildo?
Well, wouldn't you be the top?
No.
What? Well, you really haven't talked to Reagan in a while.
No, but that would be the only thing I'd pay money to see.
Who'd
pay money to see Reagan get fucked in the ass? That's like, you know... Let me go outside and see a cripple fall over.
Or let's pay to see Wanda Wisdom cook a chicken.
Debone a chicken from across the room.
With her penis. Oh, I don't know. Well, it's nice to have you back. I hope you can stay with us for longer. Yeah. Yeah. But you're trying to get tenure in all this bullshit, and I know you got your...
All this bullshit.
On the Eat This Hot show, you're going to get tenure.
And he's got some reality thing on the Real Player channel or something like that. What is that?
Oh, yeah. I have a post on – not post. I have a – oh, you know – no, I think I can say this because they're going to release the news today. Okay. Yeah, I have a show on Real Player Super Pass, who does the 24-hour live feed for Big Brother. It's going to be a weekly show called, I think, Getting Schooled.
Is this a scoop for Eat This Hot show?
Maybe not, because I think that they're releasing the news today. I think that they're doing...
It is a scoop. Because you said it here first, even though it wasn't posted.
Yeah. That's true.
Whatever.
True dat, well, true dat.
Well, that's exciting. How many... Is that a once-a-week thing or what?
Yeah, it's a once-a-week thing, and I really enjoy working with Superpass. They're a really great company, and the people who work there are really awesome. And it'll give me a way to... still stay connected with Big Brother this season without having to actually be on the show. So that'll be nice.
I love that really large girl. Is she doing it this year, that large girl that does...
Oh, Missy. I love Missy.
She's hysterical. She's
really, yeah, she's really fun. She's very kind of like a salt of the earth person.
I hope my listener fairy by the name of Edith Bunker, pseudonym, is able to renew our Super Pass membership, which she was so gracious to provide for myself and others.
Isn't it super cheap? Isn't it just like $5 a month?
That ain't cheap for people like who have negative equity and negative cash flow and negative...
personalities.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, remember, audience, We are donation justified, and you can donate by clicking on the link on this program sheet at eatthishotshow.com. Donate money. We split it equally. And I got to find the old theme song and the old album art. So I'll be.
Oh yes, we need album art.
Oh, right. And I love the old theme song, the one that has us talking.
Yeah, we're gonna use. I'll use that if I can find it. I'm sure I have it. If you have it, you can send it to me. But I should have it. We have whole girdle. So Wanda, what's you got coming up? Do you want to plug anything?
Oh well, you know it's. I'm so glad you asked. I will be performing at the I'm going to be on the radio Friday and all next week on My Talk 107, which you can stream live on the internets if you want. Otherwise, Pride's coming up, and I'm going to be on a big gay float in 2 weeks.
With Adam Carmichael?
Yes! Oh, my God, I'm glad that you mentioned his name. He will be on the floating down the street with me, along with some other shirtless hotties.
Some other faggots.
Do you know Eric Jansen?
That name sounds very familiar.
Or Eric Borg?
Yes.
Okay. Those guys are great. I love them. Sorry, this is like a conversation to have off the air, but yeah, those guys are nice.
What are you promoting? Do you want to promote anything else other than your website, Douchebags of Grindr?
Who are you talking to?
Raken, I'm sorry. I'm skipping.
Me?
Yeah, do you have anything else you want to talk about other than your new website, Douchebags of Grindr?
Can we do a Douchebags of Eat This Hot show?
Well, that's pretty easy so far.
It's just our album art.
True. Ding, ding, ding. What?
No, that's it. I think
we should talk about, too, about, like, later. Maybe we can start having guests again like we used to or something.
That would be a lot of fun.
Well, that's what I was kind of hoping anyway.
I would love to.
I would love to get Matt from the show on because Matt, I think Matt wouldn't even know what to do.
Oh, good, because I got the thing to say to him or two.
Oh, that would be so great. Yeah,
well,
yes.
We can do it. Just, talk to him, see.
I think I'll tell him that I'm having him come on some type of like rock and roll slash, who does he love? Howard Stern fan show podcast.
Yeah.
And then we'll like trick him. And then we can just start attacking him and asking him questions like, why did you throw Reagan under the bus? What do your tattoos mean? Why did you lie about your wife? You know, we'll just attack him.
Okay, so if anybody from Big Brother fan is listening, please send a list of questions to bloatedlesbian@gmail.com since you probably know more about the show than I did. Some mean questions to ask Matt.
And if y'all want to hear any other Big Brother people, let me know who you might be interested in talking to. What other podcasting
Julie Chen.
People can get? Who?
Julie Chen.
Julie Chen. what other podcasting people would be interesting? Who's big in gay podcasting right now?
Well, you know Rachel, of course. Rachel.
Cannon. Okay.
Who's big? I don't even know. I don't even know.
Oh, we should get Drew Drogi
come on. Yes, yes, yes. That would be awesome.
Drew Drogi is the one who does the Chloe videos and does the Glitter in the Garbage podcast. Oh, and we might be able to get Beth and JC on who do Jessica and Hunter.
I don't know that. But, you know, who else is popular is what's his face? A music guy, McGovern, Johnny
McGovern.
Can
we do Cher?
Does she have a gay podcast?
Can we get Cheryl Markowski?
Yes.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that episode.
Oh, yes. Bring back the Cheryl, of course.
I love Cheryl.
Well, there's all kinds of possibilities. We could have Tim Henson from Distorted View. He's a fan.
I always liked it when we had completely random people who...
Yeah. I like it when we have straight people on.
Well, who has grandparents that aren't dead?
Grandparents who aren't gay?
Dead.
Oh.
I don't.
Mine are all dead.
I have one with Alzheimer's, which actually could be really interesting.
That could work.
That would be nice.
Does anybody know Betty White? She's done every other show.
That's true. Betty White's finally hosting an episode of Eat This Hot Show.
Yeah.
Well,
we should start a Facebook campaign. Isn't that how she got on Saturday Night Live?
Well, she actually was asked to do it before, and she always said no. So the campaign was really to get her to say yes.
Okay, well, perfect. Then we'll do it with Eat This Hot Show. We want to see Betty White on Eat This Hot Show. Yeah.
I'd be down with that. I've been watching The Hot in Cleveland.
Let's just get crazy. Dan Savage, Jerry Blank, her brother, David Sedaris.
Savage, that would be good.
Yeah, Jerry Blank, her brother, Sedaris. Who else? Just dreaming.
Oh, you know who I would like to get? There is a guy who was on the Feast of Fools podcast who has a reality show, I think on Logo. I could be wrong about it. And I'm going to get his name wrong. His name is something Purcell. Hold on, let me go to my
list. Kilmer Purcell.
Yes, he's super duper intelligent, and I would love to have him on the show.
Well, we don't mind leftovers. He's got his own
series, doesn't he? He and his partner, they moved upstate New York, I think, and they have a phone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what his reality show is about. He fascinates me because he has this whole, and this is what he primarily talked about. Well, no. He's friends with Shirley Phelps, Shirley Roper Phelps, or whatever her name is. And Fausto and Mark had both of them on the Feast of Fools. Mm. And he started a friendship with her. And I mean, they correspond with one another. And he started the website called fagsforphelps.com, which I think is no longer being done. And I can't remember if this was his argument or the way that I spun his argument in my blog. But to me, what was fascinating about that is that the Phelps family actually does – I think maybe this is his original argument. The Phelps family does a lot to it's so exaggerated homophobia that it calls attention to it's more like mundane forms of it's like campy. Mm-hmm. So, and it makes people disidentify with homophobia when you have a group of people holding up God hates fags signs at a war hero's funeral. You know, it makes people go, if that's homophobia, then I don't want to be associated with it. So
Yes.
And that's just indicative of why I think this guy is special and would be really
good. Listen, it's not like we have such high criteria for our guests. I think it sounds fine. I mean, you don't need to go through an approval process as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. It's not like Apple.
You know who we should have is this Tracy Morgan. Let's ask
Snapple.
Let's ask Tracy Morgan ourselves.
We should all ask Tracy Morgan.
Girl. I'll be like, no need.
What does it feel like to be black with a woman's name?
Yes.
We could have a bunch of, I mean, I don't want to go overboard with the reality show stuff, but we could get a bunch of gay people who have been on reality shows just to talk about that experience. Because, you know, before when I was saying that gay men are some of the most homophobic people that I know, a lot of that I realized after doing the show and how gay men in particular talked about me. I think it would be interesting and just to get their perspective on how they were portrayed on the show, and that could be cool.
Sure. Especially that porn guy. What's his face?
Steven Daigle. Oh, I'm sure he would do it.
Will he eat my vagina?
I shouldn't say I'm sure he'll do it, but I'm pretty sure I could convince him to do it.
All right. So was this discussion all part of the show, by the way? I don't even know.
Why not? I think it would be good to put it as part of the show because then people can leave feedback. Yes. And we've given them a lot of carrots, and they could tell us which ones they
And I also, as co-hosts, I also like both Patrick and Noah of the PNS Explosion separately.
Yes.
Because they're both so funny, but I'd like to have them both on separately. I think they're great.
Okay. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah, and Sylvia Brown.
Okay, so is this it?
Yeah,
we're done?
We're done. Bye, everyone. Oh, and bye. I'm yeastradio.com.
Toodles.
Bye.